Hello and welcome back to Be Fair, a podcast hosted by Aaron Jordan Peterson, and that's me with this really bad British boy accent here that I'm trying and I'm going to keep because it's ridiculous. But anyway, I'm not going to keep it. But thank you all for tuning in to this very special episode, part one of four of a series where myself and Lisa, of course, and our special guest and friend, Sir Stephen Rice of the podcast Sunshine Stephen. You may follow that. Links will be posted in all the marketing of this show. So please do follow him. But of course, enjoy the three of us having a conversation as we reminisce and appreciate what is the icon Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the cult classic. Thank you. This is part one. Enjoy now. All right, and thanks for tuning back into To Be Fair, a podcast hosted by Aaron Jordan Peterson, and that happens to be me right here. And of course, joining me tonight is lovely co-host Lisa Forstall. What you doing?
Hi, everyone. Just loving my Sunday.
Yes. Oh, fun day. And we've got a special guest today, Sir Stephen Rice. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are y'all?
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for this episode. You have no
idea. Queen Buffy.
Lisa and I bonded over what we're about to talk about, so it's going to be really great tonight. This is an episode that has been in the making since we started talking about doing this podcast, because we had to talk about our favorite thing in the entire world, which, well, I mean, I have a lot of favorite things, but this is still on the top level. It would be our fandom of the one and only Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I feel like I might see a really dramatic moment there, but I couldn't bring it to it. Like, I didn't know how. I want to learn how to edit. I really want to learn how to, I'm trying to learn how to edit my videos. I have Premiere Pro. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Put a lot of that in it yet either?
No.
No.
I don't even have videos. I don't use my videos.
You don't?
No, I'm like, that's too much work. Sorry.
I figure, why not use my videos? Why not? I'm trying to really get into that other platform. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity. Why not? So, but I know I've done other podcasts where we do this here, but they're really only recording the audio.
Yeah.
But that's all they care about. And that's cool, but I like the opportunity to be able to be seen too, especially because I look so fabulous now.
Yeah.
So Buffy has been a very important part. And as I've been planning for this episode, and in the last couple days, as I've been rewatching some of my favorite episodes and really getting prepared. And then today I watched the 20th anniversary reunion special that's on Prime. You can find it from Entertainment Weekly. And they go through the whole series in just this beautiful way that I was like, this is basically porn I was watching at the moment. It wasn't sexual, Lisa. Good God.
No, it was intellectual porn.
Yes. It hit all the nostalgia buttons that I needed
to
push today.
Yeah.
And there was a few moments I'll discuss in the episode, but our big thing that I want to get right out of the way, so then we can just have the glorified conversation of the world of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is I asked us all to come up with our top three Buffy big bads, and I want us to talk about those right away, because the big bads are some of the most inventive characters I've ever seen on TV in certain ways, because of how they actually worked them into the series. And so Miss Lisa, we'll let ladies first go. What is your number three?
Lady, you're more of a lady than I am. Let's not get carried away.
Well, you know what, currently that's what you're identifying as, so.
Oh, touche.
Okay.
Glory.
Glory is your number three.
I feel like
oh, not
three. Sorry, I didn't know we were going in order. I'm sorry, I didn't know we were going in order. No.
Okay. I was trying to go with number three in a countdown. Huh?
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Sorry.
So, oh man, I didn't know I had to be in a specific order. That's not fair.
Well, I twisted on you. You know, I always, there's a plot twist.
I know. So I'm going to go. Okay. So the mayor then?
The mayor is your number three. That's a good choice into having your top three, I think.
Yeah.
Mayor Wilkins.
Yeah. I just love him.
he was the
and
first.
And it's kind of like a big bad combo because of Faith. Like it's a it's a dual nemesis situation.
Well, they had to do that. They had to really do that because the mayor wasn't going to be someone she was physically fighting. They had to give her the one that she was going to have the physical duels. Yeah. And it was perfect to put in another vampire slayer that had that darkness that we were going to see expand out through that whole season and what Buffy was going to really grow into and realize that darkness inside of the slayer.
Right.
And I loved it because that's where, if I wasn't already a fan from season one and two, which I was, season three really just locked it in. Like it, I was gung-ho, not going to stop watching the show, and it better get renewed as much as possible. And that was because of that dynamic with Faith. And we had Angel back. I love how we're in season three. This is, season three is fine. That's because, that was a very important season for Buffy, for my, part of the fandom. And Mayor was, when you say the mayor, I really did like him as a...
I just like how he's so neat and tidy and clean, and he's just this evil...
He's fitting really well right now, wouldn't he?
Yes! Yes!
All right. Well, you know. We'll probably talk a little bit more about him when we get into the lineage of the seasons, or the line of the seasons. Steven, how about your number three?
It was actually kind of the same, but I paired Faith and the mayor together.
I like it.
And I Faith was just, and I knew because when she first, I'm blanking on the actress's name.
Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, I was like, she's from Bring It On.
It was
such a different character, and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I think she did Bring It On after, though.
Like, I think, But I think I saw Bring It On first.
Yeah, this is what brought her... Well, that's true, because you're young. this is what brought her into notoriety, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Was that... I remember seeing her in True Lies with...
Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I saw that later,
And Jamie Lee Curtis, she was their daughter, and then I think she did another movie that I liked as a kid, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's this badass new slayer in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I was like, oh my god, there's a new slayer.
That's what,
Kendra died. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't watched it in like 20 years
and even if you haven't watched it in 20 years, if you don't remember that, then are you really a fan?
Right.
All right, so I guess we need to talk about my number three would have to be Angelus.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason he's my number three is because he was an important character. I think it was a really good and interesting story arc to have, like, this never, never to be able to have a love story, this tragic how do you call it? Unrequited. No, it's not unrequited. It's totally requited. God, I'm trying to think, but like a damn.
It's like, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Like those, Romeo and Juliet. Like it's
a tragic, romance that will just never be, but they're clearly meant to be.
Yeah.
But it's just cursed.
Yeah.
And that was because Angel was cursed. Like, it was very fascinating to see this. Ooh, okay, so we got a good vampire. I mean, clearly, it was network television. Even at 13, when that series started, it I was predictable for me. Yes, I was 13, Stephen. Which, how old were you then?
It's okay, so was I. That would have made me three.
That's fine, because, I remember when the series started, and honestly, I saw advertisements for it a lot of times because my mom watched Seventh Heaven.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes.
And that was the WB was just coming into being.
Oh yeah, that's, I forgot they were both on WB.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yep. The WB was
what a parallel. Like Seven Heaven to WB.
Well, that was actually something I really got to find out by watching the 20th anniversary thing today. They talked about how Buffy was pretty much the thing that set the WB into its motion. Current,
yeah.
Here it is. They've started that teenage, because Joss Whedon made a teen drama and a sci-fi show on TV that was relatable to teenage angst at that moment. And that was what the WB was going for. And boom, that led to Dawson's Creek and that. And so Uncharmed and so on and so forth for all that WB lineup for all of my high school days. I mean, like, I will tell you. But so obviously season one of Buffy, you know, you see the storyline of Angel and her and like this flirtation and this passion that's building up between the two of them. And so you're like, okay, cool. We're going to see a love story between, you know, a vampire slayer and a vampire. It clearly needs to happen.
Yeah.
I think forbidden, that.
Forbidden love.
What?
Forbidden love.
Yeah, forbidden. There it is.
Yes.
And so, of course, then in season two, when we're learning a lot more of Angel's, like how he began his origins. And we got to see a ton of it in the season finale because, of course, there's the curse that Angel is cursed with a soul, and if he ever has true happiness, which of course he did because him and Buffy did the whammy, this is what happens. And so I love that conflict that they put into the story for that, like, even though I hated it because I'm like, all I wanted them was to be together, because I'm like,
yeah,
you're rooting for it. And so when you see him become the bad guy and how much of a toxic man he becomes to Buffy, like, he like gross. Literally goes from like this pet that is just adoring her to like, I am going to destroy your soul. Mm-hmm. Like the whole season was, he didn't want to kill her. He wanted to destroy her. Mm-hmm. And it was just so interesting to see that dynamic of how a relationship in reality can work. And this, they put into this like, fantasy world. Like how like this poor 16-year-old girl is just like torn apart by her first love, who happens to be a like sadistic vampire from like 200 years prior. Crazy.
Right.
So yeah, he had to be in my top.
Just high school problems.
Boys.
They only knew what we went through.
And I think I did appreciate it in that same sense, being a little gay boy in a small town in Reamer, Minnesota, when I couldn't even talk to other people about being a little gay boy in Reamer, Minnesota. And we have this whole thing of like, they can't be together. Like right. I really related to that. And I never thought about how much I related to that. Mm-hmm. And so this is very interesting watching Lisa walk around.
Sorry. My phone's almost dead. Phone's almost dead. I need to get something where I can put my phone and be stationary, because otherwise it just looks like I'm going around and around in a dryer.
Yeah. We could have left this. We could have had a cliffhanger.
I'm very unprofessional. That's why I'm the sidekick.
She does. There's always, every episode, Steven has something with her. There's something. And
it happens.
Always.
Yeah. I think it's part of the thing now. It's part
of
the thing. Like, now will the listeners think that we're faking it, or
can I have to go see the
video? Angel was my number three. All right. Lisa, number two.
I don't want to pick. Well, I hate being like super cliche feeling like I'm super cliche.
Well, if you're worried that other people are going to judge you, you're not a true Buffy fan.
Well, I could give a shit what people think. I mean, sorry. Is it okay to use grown-up language? I don't know.
Are you a grown-up?
No. No, okay, so... I have to say Willow.
Oh, that's a plot twist.
Yeah.
That is a plot twist. Because we're talking right now here. This is another important person to Buffy.
Yeah.
Go with it, Lisa. Give me your reason.
Oh, my reason. It's just because from season one, when she's the girl who is the quiet, nerdy girl getting bullied, you know, wearing striped socks and plaid jumper,
a ginger,
kind of, you know, just a ginger,
socially awkward,
super awkward, in love with her best friend, blah blah blah. You know, and as you watch her grow through the seasons, I mean, in season two, you know, like you were saying with Angel or Angelus, that she recurses him, mm-hmm. which is a lot of foresight on Joss's part. considering how long
You knew where she was going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She had to have something other than the books, you know?
Right.
And they needed a witch on the team. It just made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so just to watch her character grow throughout the seasons, and then for that addiction piece of how easy power can just twist your mind and change even the purest of hearts into just darkness and destitute, you know?
Yep.
And the fact that she went completely evil for love, it's kind of the opposite of Angela's, you know?
Yeah.
In an odd way. Like,
well, and hers was
odd parallels.
Hers was in that, just like you said, is coming from a point of addiction. I mean, that whole buildup was all because she was addicted to using magic. I mean, that's why she lost her girlfriend. That's why, you know, and then of course, when her girlfriend gets shot and killed, I mean, I'm going to say if I ever had access to the magics that Willow had and some of the things that I've been through in my life, I can't say I would have been very responsible with them either.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. So, anybody that says that they could be completely responsible with the power of magic is full of
especially what she had going on for her.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I found that, like, I didn't foresee that coming in the series, even though I should have. I was really good at being able to predict, even though, I mean, everything was leading up. I didn't know it was going to be such an epic, like, she was going to be the big bad of that season.
Right.
Exactly. I was curious on what was going to happen. I mean, I'm like, okay, so three nerds are the big bad of season six, you know?
And I love them.
I did. I mean, they were great characters. Sadly, they're not on my top three, the trio.
Understandable. They're like a subgenre.
But they're an adorable ones that really were great antagonists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're comedic relief, really. Yeah. They're like, They're like having a sliver. Like, yeah. You can't get to.
So... yeah, so then you've got, but they're the ones that led up to, I mean, Willow wouldn't have gone all the way dark if it hadn't been for, oh crap, why am I forgetting his name? The three nerds, there's Jonathan, Andrew.
And then the guy that was actually evil.
The one that actually shot, the one that made robots, the one that shot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that killed his girlfriend.
I literally am just watching season six right now and it's bugging me. I'm looking it up. Yeah. Anyway, so
it's gonna be something super basic too.
Yeah. Like, if it's like Steve, I'm gonna Adam?
No, Adam was season four. Villain.
Oh, that's right.
You know what though? It was a toss-up for me between Willow and the Initiative. Because the Initiative was pretty rough.
Now is initiative the big bad, or is Adam the big bad?
I think the Initiative is the big bad because it's the government. Call me a conspiracy theorist.
The government's always the big bad. Real life and in Buffyverse.
Yes.
Warren. That's not a common name.
It is not a common name. So I'm fair. It's fair that I didn't remember that so easily. Warren.
Yeah.
His name was Lisa.
If his name was like Bob, I would have been like, well, we suck.
So
this is Rick.
Yeah. Then there's okay. So yours was
Willow.
Dark Willow. All right. So that great choice. I wanted to put her on my list. I really did. But I was like, I can't have two of the main character big bads. But that was my role for myself. All right, Steven, number two.
For me, I don't even know if she's considered a big bad, but it's somebody that with the acting and just her... terrified me as a child.
I really hope you don't.
Oh, God, no.
Okay. I was like, oh, I hope he does.
Like, she just, like, I don't think I've ever seen this actress in anything else, but I would always
Drusilla, see. Isn't it?
It's Drusilla.
He's a beast, man. I totally get that.
Scared me as a child. I was just like, how do I? Amazing acting.
Considerably, she would be considered a big bad. Was considered to be, they weren't going to keep Spike.
Yeah,
Drusilla, but not Spike. Yeah, I remember this. I mean, I a little bit of an obsessed fan that I remember. Spike wasn't supposed to last more than like four episodes.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
But too many fans demanded it, and so.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I see why she terrified you as a child, though, because.
Oh yeah.
Not only did she have no soul, but she was already crazy because of Angel.
Angel drove
driving
her crazy.
Her insane.
You see her origin story in Becoming part one and two, season two. Those have to be some of my favorite episodes. The two part season finale. I remember it being marketed on live TV. Sorry, Stephen, you won't remember this, but when they were advertising the season two finale, I remember it being like, a 2 hour season finale event this Tuesday, and I'd be like, I'm gonna. I was there.
If it makes me feel better, Steve, I don't remember the live commercial broadcast either.
I do. I have locked in. It doesn't matter if they're 20 some years now ago. I have locked those memories in. I don't know why. I just have. Why are you going to talk about this? Because it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Sitting there locked in there. And that I'm glad Buffy was very important in my childhood. And I like that you picked Drusilla as your number two, because it's hard to figure out the big bads of season two, because of course Angelus.
There was
Angelus was the plot twist one.
Right.
Spike wasn't supposed to be one. It was supposed to be Drusilla and Angel were going to do this together, but Spike was just too important to the fans,
right?
You know
what really got? Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
I was gonna say what really got me with Drusilla was, I think it was in season four when they put the judge together.
That was season two.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Did I think it was season four? I don't know. But when they put the judge together and everybody was getting ready for the party, and she like tries to talk to her dead bird, and she like freaks out about the flowers being wrong. Yeah. And it's just like,
yeah,
you're special kind of sick. Man, even being a big bad with you, you don't want to cross her, because she just gives zero care about any life.
You get to see more of her storyline play out in Angel. If you watch the spinoff, did you see when you watch Angel?
I did not watch.
You're I didn't so finish lucky it.
That you no, you should.
Trust I know me. I should. Everybody says, but I'm just like, I want a female main character.
I mean, you get to see Cordelia grow, like in.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
badass.
It gets really weird, but
it does get. There is that like really weird during season three and four that really just goes really weird, but it's kind of endearing. Anyway, we're not talking about Angel. But there are some characters from Buffy that got extra character development in Angel. So then there's So my number two. Yeah. My number two was gonna be Adam. When you said the initiative, that's why I was like, okay. I really kind of liked season four is actually, with the exception of things in season five that I like, season four is my favorite season. It was the point where Buffy was starting to have to separate herself from high school and separate herself from the old version of herself, Angel and everything. I mean, that's why she's dating Good Boy Riley now, who happens to not be
good.
And we find out like that this whole initiative, this whole government operation that somehow knows about all the vampires and demons, it's, you know, I wonder if that's something that, like, if these creatures really existed, if the government would try to contain and
for sure.
Demon that was not even a question.
100%.
Area 51, hello.